Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. You know, I've come to the conclusion there's too much to do. We've got too much stuff. We got too much to look at, too much to see, too much to experience. Last night on, by the way, I'm Steve. Hi. Last night on your TV, well, mine too. You had the Home Run Derby. You had the what's it, the Bachelorette, or is it the Bachelor? I don't know.
Bachelorette.
And you had about 47 other things that people might watch. And I'm watching these tremendous athletes just club baseballs.
Mm-hmm.
400 feet over and over and over and over again. I'm going, what else is on? Shouldn't that be enough?
It got kind of redundant, didn't it?
Well, that's the thing. Shouldn't it be enough?
Shouldn't it be enough?
I'm advocating we unplug all of it, except for radio. We unplug all of it for 24 hours.
I say that's a great idea.
And let's see what happens.
Yep.
All of it's gone.
Let's go camping.
Let us know.
It's not much on TV right now.
All you can have for 24 hours is radio and your cell phones. Right?
Not even your phones.
Maybe a WGN Plus podcast would be good.
Okay, see, now we're already extending it. Now we're already making it bigger than it needs to be.
Well,
is this mandatory?
It just gets bigger and bigger.
No, it's just a dream. It's just a boy and his dream.
There were other choices last night. American Ninja Warrior, which is my favorite show, and I couldn't watch it because I was watching Home Run Derby.
That's the other thing, American Ninja Warrior. I found myself watching American Ninja Warrior. They're doing ridiculously
things
that just human beings shouldn't be able to do.
I know.
And then they fall in water, and then it's over. And I go, what else is on?
Yeah. Then they tear their ACLs. It's just a mess.
And they fly off like one obstacle, and they face plant into a wall. And I'm going, what else is on? I don't know.
It's funny. They work so hard for that one moment, and I could do nothing and still lose.
That's a good point. You could do the face plant.
I could do that.
John DeCoste and I we haven't pitched it yet. It's still in development, but we're doing a show called Middle-Aged Man Warrior, and it involves getting out of a chair, getting to the refrigerator.
To the fridge.
Making a sandwich.
Right. Tuna fish.
And then forgetting why you were in the kitchen in the first place.
Exactly.
Getting ended walking to the kitchen.
Right. And then going back to the chair, setting it down, cursing because you forgot to get the drink that you left.
And then you can't find the remote.
And then you can't find the remote. And it turns out the remote's in the refrigerator.
It was in the fridge.
Yeah.
How about that?
This sounds great.
I know.
Middle-aged man warrior.
And you have to wear a Fitbit because then you can count your steps back and forth to the kitchen.
Exactly.
So we're going to just have an abacus with us.
Yes. Which is very clumsy on your wrist.
How many commercials will you have? Because you have to build in breaks.
Well, we also build in like those really emotional pieces where you have backstories on all the contestants. Like Bob's gout is really bothering him tonight. Middle-aged man warrior coming soon. All right, let's do the top six at six.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Super Joe each day puts together a list of stories for my perusal, and this one jumped out last night. Or Michael does, and then Super Joe emails him? What kind of system is that?
It's all part of a Word document on the internet.
Really?
And, you know, we add and...
Are you guys laundering money in there?
It's a Google Doc. Yeah. It's a Google document.
The stories are great. And Michael pointed out a Garth Brooks story, which I was not aware of. He's doing a dive bar tour.
I heard this.
And it's coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago with plenty of dive bars and plenty of hot spots. And anyway, in the midst of his dive bar tour, kicking off July 15th in Chicago,
He shared the news on Facebook and on a SiriusXM show called Inside Studio G. And US 99 and some others announced it's going to be at Joe's on Wheat Street. Joe's isn't really a dive bar.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Joe's is a concert venue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but compared to a Garth Brooks super, you know, Rosemont bar.
They're doing it.
Maybe that's
Soldier Field,
Notre Dame. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This could become a big fire hazard. You try to squeeze all these people in
not
the little
at Joe's.
Dive bar.
They're kind of used to it.
Yeah, not at Joe's, but other places.
Dive bar should be like 100 people squeezed in.
Yes.
That's it.
With peanuts on the floor.
Right.
Cracked peanuts on the floor.
Yeah, and the smell of stale beer.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Next. Pregnant and standing on a CTA bus. Well, soon there's going to be a button for that. The Chicago Transit Authority confirmed Monday it plans to roll out so-called pregnancy buttons, along with an awareness campaign to help expectant mothers get a seat on full buses and trains. Let me tell you something. If you're on CTA and there is an older lady or an older man or a mom with kids or a dad with kids, or for God's sakes, a pregnant woman, get your fat ass off the seat and let them sit down.
Yeah, you shouldn't need a button for
you
that.
You need a button for that?
I would think older people before pregnant people sometimes, because many pregnant people are in really great shape.
Well, give them an opportunity to say no.
Yeah, exactly.
Do the right thing. Give them an opportunity to say, no, thank you, I'm fine.
And what if they're only like 2 months pregnant, you know?
Wow. It's the
well, then you have to run tests, and that's awkward
exactly.
on the train.
It's just kind of crazy. So just, you know, be respectful. See, an older person or a huge pregnant woman.
Well, what are the buttons
I don't think this is going to help at all.
No, I mean, where are they?
They're like the Amazon buttons. You know, you push, you push them and
suddenly
she gets pregnant.
The seat appears?
No, you push them and she gets pregnant.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I don't get this.
I don't either.
So you're saying it's wrong to take up two seats then?
Just be a decent human being,
okay,
right?
Not going to happen.
Next. There's a very good reason that the Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was put in a home run derby because he's really good. He has just like his father, he had this awkward slashing swing, but he murders baseballs. Just unbelievable. And last night, he didn't get the $1 million, did he, Dave?
He did not.
But he was, I think, the star of the show.
Is that the guy with the blonde dreadlocks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He hit 91 home runs.
Oh,
and again, I mean, it's the format has changed over the years. Now it's on a clock. And if you hit long enough home runs, you get an extra 30 seconds to hit more.
Isn't it amazing how long 4 minutes is?
I love how they get the little rest with the Gatorade guy that comes out.
Yeah. And you thought, but you think 4 minutes, you go, oh, man, that's not a long time. 4 minutes is a week and a half. The winner was the New York Mets.
Pete Alonso from the Mets.
Which I believe is the only good thing that's happened to the Mets since 1969.
Him and Jacob deGrom, I think.
So, but anyway, Guerrero was a new breakout star for the rest of the country that wasn't familiar with his work.
I still would have, I guess I'm glad he didn't go, but I kind of wish we'd gotten a chance to see what Eloy Jimenez would have done.
Yeah. Except that we don't want to screw up his swing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Next. Spokesman for former President Clinton said, Bill Clinton, boy, did Clinton jump on this? I mean, how guilty do you look when you go, hey, whoa, wasn't me. Bill Clinton said Monday that Clinton knows nothing. Bill Clinton's spokesman said Monday that Clinton knows nothing about Jeffrey Epstein's alleged crimes after the billionaire financier pleaded not guilty in sex trafficking charges. Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty in a Florida court some years ago. He got a 1-year sweet deal set up by the then South Florida prosecutor, Mr. Acosta, who is now part of the Trump cabinet, who's got lots of splaining to do. Epstein is one of the bigger creeps on the planet. There's other people implicated in this, including Donald Trump, Prince Andrew, and a whole bunch of big shot billionaires and millionaires. And some big shot attorneys.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind hearing from them that they had no knowledge of any of this either. Go on.
Kind of quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of quiet. Next. Netflix has long kept quiet on viewing statistics, but they're pretty proud of this. The record for the most watched anything has been smashed by season 3 of Stranger Things. Haven't watched a second of this show.
Oh, I am. I'm a huge fan.
I'm already done with season 3.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yep. I already finished it.
I'm on episode 2.
Yeah. Nerd alert.
I stopped watching. There you go.
According to Netflix Twitter account, the latest go around with the 80-set suburban fantasy show watched by 40.7 million accounts in its first 4 days. And accounts means number of people in the house. Who knows? I mean, that could be 100 million people.
Yeah, that's right. That's two of us in our house.
Netflix claimed 18.2 million have already finished the entire season, and they wanted to thank Steve Brzanich individually.
Oh, that's so nice.
So, I don't get the sci-fi. What is it?
Yeah, a little bit sci-fi, little based fantasy, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Little Goonies meets...
Nerdy, you know, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the best thing about... Well, it's the best thing about the series, but season three had a lot of really good 80s memories in it.
Yep.
It's the music, just the idea, and there's one scene where they're, you know, at the mall, and it's just like, I remember the mall. I remember these stores.
See, I got that from the Americans, and then you got some good kills in it as well.
Yeah, there's some good monster stuff going on.
And finally this, the U.S. women's national team did more than just win a second World Cup championship in a row. They killed it in the ratings as well. Sunday's U.S.-Netherlands final drew 20% more U.S. viewers than last year's men's World Cup final. 27% of all television in the United States were turned into at least part of a game. It was one of the highest-rated televised games in the history of soccer. Congratulations again to the American women. 6:22, that's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
John DeCazier, John Texter, says, the other day I thought I heard John say you were taking your stand-up comedy tour to the Beverly Arts Center in Chicago. It's not on their website. Did I hear incorrectly? John, did that individual hear incorrectly?
No. No, we are there. We will be at the Beverly Arts Center September 26th. It's a Friday night.
Can you talk to the Beverly Arts Center about getting us on
the
website?
You know what? I will definitely do that.
Because that'd be swell if that happened.
Yes.
Can you buy tickets for that yet? Because I need a couple.
Well, now I'm... I'm going to have to double check now.
Yeah.
You know.
Where are the other shows?
The other shows we've got, which is kind of cool, coming up in August, which is our first one. This is the one west that goes to Zany's Pheasant Run. That's on the 23rd. You, me, and Mike Toomey from WG in the Morning. We did this last year, once a year, our big moment there.
He's very funny.
Oh, my God.
You're very funny.
You are.
I'll be there as well.
Yeah, you'll be there. Mm-hmm. You're actually very funny. No, so stop it. And then September 7th, we're going north to Arlington Heights at the beautiful Metropolis Theater. And that's a Saturday night. And you get metropolisarts.com, zanies.com for the Zanies tickets for August.
Only three shows this fall prior to New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we're doing. That's it. Kind of spread them out in different parts of the city and the suburbs.
It's because I have a lot of demands on my time. I have the Botox treatments I planned for October.
Yeah, I had to work around this.
Yeah. So, all right. And all of that information of the Beverly Arts Center show should be fixed a little later today.
Yes, I will make sure that is. But yes, we are there.
870, I watch no TV, only listen to the radio with WGN and the station in New Zealand. That's it. See, this is the type of people we need. People only listen to us in a station in New Zealand. That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
right.
It is 6:29. When we come back, we get you the headlines in a second. Still to come on this show, Kid of the Week, in just a few minutes. Pat Brady is scheduled to appear. Dean Richards later. And, of course, we'll do more on entertainment. And later on, Bill and Juliana Rancic. Are they going to be in studio, Super Joe? All right, Bill and Juliana are coming in. And it's always awkward because Juliana gets Bill and I confused. You know, so that's really unfortunate. At 6:29, those headlines next, 7:20 WGN. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And this week's honorary kid of the week, again, Mary Vandeveld for the, I don't know what it would be, probably 160, 70th week running is Abigail Grace. Yesterday I'm watching Abigail Grace. She spilled milk twice. And after I cleaned up both spills, I said, do you want something else to drink? And she said, well, not milk. Because obviously the milk you're giving me is jumping out of my hand. No more of this jumping milk.
Did she spill it all over you?
No, she spilled it on the floor and on the furniture.
Aw.
But there's nothing quite as amusing as a three-year-old going, oh, no. I love so that kid. Cute. I don't know if you could tell.
She's hilarious.
Joining us now, this week's Kid of the Week, and this is Emma Wahlberg. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Thank you for getting up. It's a little early in the summer to get up, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you doing it. Emma Wahlberg is this week's Kid of the Week because, well, she's an exceptional kid who does good things. Why? She's on the Youth Advisory Board at the K-Cancer Softball Organization. What is that?
K-Cancer Softball is a nonprofit organization that is helping kids who are battling childhood cancer, and our goal is to make sure that no childhood cancer patient has to go through their journey alone.
And you also babysit for parents who, you know, need a bit of a break and get a night out because when you're dealing with this in your house, you can't imagine the pressure. And you're a good student, right? 4.0 student?
Yep.
Does that come naturally, or do you work hard at it?
I work hard for that.
Okay. What do you think you want to do when you grow up?
I'm not 100% sure yet. But
oh,
like
we're going to need an answer. Dave, don't we need an answer before the segment's over?
I think we do need
over?
An answer. Yeah, I hate to say that, Emma. But
all right. You
I
can
would like
about it.
The business field and then continue to help out with the K-Cancer organization.
Treasurer for the 4-H club, member of the local FFA, play a little high school golf and softball. What position are you in softball?
My parents put me in it when I was younger, and I really just enjoyed it, and I've continued to play softball.
Yeah, what position do you play?
Oh, I play pitcher.
Oh, you're a pitcher. Okay. Well, look, you've got a very busy life, and I appreciate the fact that you're doing all this work, but the amazing thing is, I don't even know if you know this number, but with the K-Cancer Softball Organization that you help run, and speaking in front of grown-ups all the time is not an easy thing, but you do that to help raise money, Lurie Children's Hospital has gotten $50,000, Dave.
Wow.
$50,000, Mary. $50,000, Steve. How about that?
That's crazy. That's awesome.
From you and your friends. That's a big deal, Emma.
Yeah.
We should feel very good about that.
I think Emma might be CEO material.
Do you think
might
so?
Yeah, I think maybe run a big company someday. We're just trying to help you come to a decision about your future here.
Poor kid. She's only 14.
You know, if this continues, she's going to be CEO of this company and get rid of you and I.
Yeah.
So, do you come from a big family, brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister.
Older, younger?
Younger.
So you're the big sister. Wow, you don't get a break. All this, and now you got to be the big sister, too.
What fun stuff are you doing this summer? Or are you starting a company or something?
This summer, I have softball, usually all summer long, so I'm usually playing softball. And then I also have sheep that I show at the Boone County Fair, so I help get ready with them.
Oh, sheep?
Yeah, where do the sheep come from?
That's something that my dad used to show when he was little. So when we moved back here, I got into showing.
Oh, because you're in the 4-H. Yeah.
But yep. Do they bring the sheep? I don't know how this works. Who supplies the sheep?
We have a farm that we own.
So you don't, like, order them on Amazon or anything like that?
No.
Yeah. Because Amazon Prime, they can order, you can get sheep overnight. Emma, you're a great kid. I appreciate you being on your Kid of the Week. And Super Joe, what has Emma won, Super Joe? What has Emma won for being on the show? Oh, Super Joe is listening to something else while he's working on this show. He's got a lot going on. I'll tell you what you've won. Emma, you have won a family of four-pack, family four-pack of tickets to see The Wizard of Oz at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier. Get your tickets at chicagoshakes.com. But I'm also going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. I assume you like pizza.
Yes.
LouMalnati's.com and an app gift card. Go over to app to spend a little money there at abt.com. That's all for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a great kid. Hold on. Man, can she just not wait to hit that pillow again or what?
Yeah, she's right? tired. Well, she does a lot.
Well, she stepped up. She stepped up. She got on the phone. She talked to me, and now it's over, and now she can go back to bed.
Well, then she's got to shear the sheep instead of count the sheep.
Right? Yeah,
you didn't ask her about her golf game. She's on the golf team, too.
Yeah, I thought you'd be all over that.
I'm going to wait like 15 minutes till she's back to sleep, and I'm going to call her back.
Call her back.
Yeah.
Listen to Pat Brady. He's really going to blow your mind because he's seldom wrong, just right, yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Great, Steve. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for coming in. I wanted to talk to you about this Jeffrey Epstein thing. In your role as a prosecutor, your job, correct me if I'm wrong, was to put bad guys away?
Yes, unless they're politically connected. I think that's the exception here.
But I'm guessing that you never was in a position that Mr. Acosta apparently was with a guy with billions and billions and billions of dollars. I'm not saying that Acosta got paid off, but there's got to be some explanation on why Jeffrey Epstein got a sweetheart deal. So let's back it up to explain for people that may not be familiar with the story. Epstein is who?
He's a big finance guy in New York, heavily politically connected on both sides of the aisle, friends with President Clinton and President Trump.
And worth billions. Yes. Well, at least hundreds of millions.
Yes.
Lives in a $50 million place in New York City, which, by the way, New York City is a one-bedroom.
Which the government is seeking to forfeit in this indictment.
As they should. So he was originally charged after some really good reporting by a Miami Herald reporter who kept this case alive. And then this guy, Acosta, who is serving in the Trump cabinet in what position?
Labor Secretary.
He's Secretary of Labor. Was he lead prosecutor for South Florida?
He was the U.S. Attorney.
He was the U.S. Attorney for South Florida.
Appointed U.S. Attorney.
So whatever deal the people that worked on his staff put together to put this guy away, he had the ability to veto it and do what he wanted to do.
Yes.
So he got what amounted to a very sweetheart deal.
Well, sweetheart was dismissed, and that kicked it down. He actually pled guilty to state-level prostitution charges and did 13 months in jail. But if you look at the...
But he had an in-and-out pass.
Basically, but if you look at the indictment that was unsealed yesterday,
right,
these charges basically mirror that to which he was being investigated for in southern Florida of like 2002 to 2005, and it's some really nasty, bad stuff. This guy's a pervert, and he was taking 14-year-old girls into his under the guise of a massage and having sex with them. I mean, just
these are runaways. These are girls that come from really bad homes, bad situations. And he and apparently a lot of connected rich friends were all involved in this.
Well, that's in the indictment. It says it names a lot of other unnamed people that were involved in the recruitment process. I'm not saying that the politically connected were, but the fact that this guy could take this case, which if you read the indictment, it's like, oh, man, this is a slam dunk. This guy needs to be locked up forever. And say Acosta said, OK, we're going to give this kick it down to the state level and get this guy 13 months when. Potentially, I think some of these things, particularly they found a bunch of apparently child pornography pictures in his place in New York, which get huge sentences for that.
In folders, labeled.
Yeah, weird stuff. I mean, this guy's a real sicko. For that to get dismissed and reduced to the state-level charges is out of the ordinary. I don't know what happened, but I can't believe that the U.S. attorney in that district didn't know what his line prosecutors were doing with that case, given this guy's high profile.
And if you were in Mr. Acosta's position, and this was all an outrageous charge against you and your integrity, wouldn't you have spoken up by now?
Yeah, well, I think the other theory on that is the president doesn't like anybody that's in the paper more than him. And so if the way to get kicked out of the administration is to be in the news all the time, and if he goes a couple more days, I think Trump will ask him to step down. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, already has.
Could he be charged with something?
We don't see it. I don't see it yet. It might just prosecutor has a lot of discretion, and absent some intent to a quid pro quo to get this guy a lesser charge is proven. And I haven't seen any allegations or any proof of that. Then no, but it certainly shouldn't be sitting in a cabinet position.
So he was really at best the worst U.S. attorney in America, and at worst complicit.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes in these political cases, and I've seen it on both sides, where they really get a blind spot as to what's going on here. This is really, really bad conduct. And for him to take a bullet for this guy, this Epstein, Acosta, to do that for Epstein is really, really stupid.
Well, the prosecutors are human beings. So, you know, whether he has a daughter or wife or whatever, He certainly has had women in his life who he should feel some empathy towards. These girls were devalued to the point of zero in this decision.
Yeah, I know.
They weren't even told about the deal.
Child sex trafficking. I can't think of anything except murder and some other things that are as bad and egregious as this. And this guy needs to go away forever. And for him to, the Acosta to step in and reduce it to essentially a misdemeanor ticket, that's bad conduct. But let's let the facts play out. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll resign and it all goes away. But it's pretty bad conduct.
Clinton's spokesperson came out yesterday and said, I knew nothing of the crimes. And had no part in those. That is what it is. But we know that Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Prince Andrew, and who's the attorney? I'm forgetting that is the Harvard attorney. That's
Dershowitz.
Alan Dershowitz.
Epstein gave Harvard $30 million.
Yeah, Alan Dershowitz was all. They were all at his private island. They were all hanging around him. And when you're a child sex trafficker, it's probably not somebody you want to be hanging around.
Well, that's why the president's tweet about it was so interesting from 2002, where he said something about Epstein's a good friend, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, but he prefers much younger women.
Right.
Which, in hindsight, is a pretty damaging
right. In other
piece
words,
of evidence.
He knew that he preferred younger women.
But I don't know if he knew or not. That is, to me, is
well,
such
I'm just saying
odd,
based on what he wrote.
Right, but such odd behavior and such deviant behavior that maybe somebody will get, by association, will get in trouble for this. But this guy needs to go away forever.
There's one person who is an accuser, who's only labeled as Jane Doe. I think she's still a minor, who claimed that Trump raped her at the age of 13. And she has refused to go further in the case a couple of times. But she's out there. It's an awful, 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 awful story. And we don't know that the president, that Bill Clinton, that Prince Andrew, that any of them are involved beyond really bad choices in their friends. But this Jeffrey Epstein is as bad as it gets.
But where's the Trump vetting team on Acosta? This has been out there for a long time. How did they allow this guy to be nominated and actually put through? Where was the Senate asking this guy the questions on both sides of the aisle? Why did you not find out that this had happened? And this investigation in the Southern District has been going on for a while, and it just replicated what happened in the Southern District. You know, another question, too, and I haven't looked it up or researched it, but how did he, Acosta, get this plea deal that only bound the Southern District of Florida? Because it's essentially the same charges, where he entered into a plea agreement or a dismissal agreement with a non-disclosure, and it only bound the Southern District. I mean, how did that happen, too? I mean,
because that's not how it normally works in a federal case.
You would think that it would be a more global agreement, but that's neither here nor there. The underlying conduct is so disgusting. Go read the indictment, and you'll want Epstein to just die in Rikers.
Right? Epstein had to know this second wave was coming, didn't he? I mean, this couldn't have been a surprise.
Yeah, they snagged him getting off his jet coming back from Europe. I'm sure he did know. I'm sure the raid was a surprise, though.
More on this is one of the main stories of the day to come. We'll talk about some other Chicago and Illinois and other political things next hour with Pat Brady. First at 6:59, it's the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where you're going to find Steve next. Llama Llama books are very, very good. They're written by Anna Dudney. Sadly, she passed in 2016, but she has several books. So I thought it might be a nice new part of this feature if I read to you.
I would love to hear some of the Llama Llama books.
Llama Llama warm in bed. Llama Llama sleepyhead. Llama Llama school begins today. Time to learn and time to play. Make the bed and find some clothes. Brush the teeth and blow your nose. Eat some breakfast. Clean the plate. Whoops, we're running late.
Grandpa Steve is crazy.
Doesn't it make you want more Llama Llama?
Makes me want to go to the bathroom.
That's an odd response. That's not what I was looking for. Part of my service that I provide, reading to grown-ups. Dave, a story for you later, possibly. It's entirely up to you, Dave. Yeah. I don't want to push it on you, you know.
You're going to read me a story?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About another Llama Llama book?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe I'll surprise you. I don't know.
When I take a nap later today, can you call me and read me a story?
Without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah, will you come to my car? Read me a nap. Read me a story.
Without a question. Without a question. Without a doubt. We have a number of ridiculously stupid people in the news today, and there are some stories that you just put under one general umbrella, and you can't make it up. Now, I find road rage to be particularly stupid. Anyone favor road rage? Anyone here big road ragers?
Yeah, I actually am.
Oh, you like a road rage?
Yeah, I do. I know it sounds great, but I do.
Nick Cole is in intensive care. He was shot during a road rage incident on Saturday. Unfortunately, that's not something unusual. We hear about this too much. He was shot by his wife, Erica. According to the county sheriffs in Alabama, there was a road rage incident. During the incident, an altercation occurred in which the offender, Erica Cole, attempted to shoot a second party, but instead shot her husband by accident. So let's review. What have we learned here? Road rage is a bad idea. You might shoot your husband.
Did he die? Is he dead?
He's in tough shape. He's in a hospital.
Oh, wow.
We're not sure he's going to make it. So, you know, look, if he does make it, I don't know that the marriage is going to do well from here. That's a lot of explaining to do.
It's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it. And my wife tells me that all the time because somebody cut me off in traffic and I'm like, I'm not going to get into a road rage incident, but I'm annoyed. And she's like, what do you care? Let him go.
Just don't make eye contact.
I was embarrassed because I followed a guy home and I blew up his, I think it was the family room. And
really? So you took it to the next level.
I felt horrible. Yeah. You
followed him home and blew up his house?
Yeah.
Nice.
There is something. There,
a lot of firecrackers left over.
There is something about, we all live in a civilized society, and when somebody is so abjectly rude to you, you do want to strike out. You want to hit back.
Can I confess a road rage?
Yeah.
I threw
Pat Brady.
A bottle of baby milk at someone coming through the toll up by O'Hare. I feel terrible about it.
Plastic bottle, I hope?
Yeah.
Do you often carry baby milk with you, or was this when the kids were little?
Three babies in the back, and Julie looks at me and goes, what? You are an idiot.
And she wasn't wrong.
She was driving, and then I'm like, yeah, that was really stupid.
Right. Because you don't know.
It sailed in front of his windshield. It didn't actually strike it, but
right. But you don't know.
He did not react.
The baby's crying in the back. Where's my milky?
Well, no, I'll be honest with you. Somebody's throwing baby milk at me. I'm not going to mess with him even if I have a gun because that guy's nuts. 7:15, most valuable person on the planet still to come. Hey, what do we know, Pat Brady, about Lori Lightfoot? How's she doing?
I think she's doing great. I mean, she's learning on the job, but I think she's doing what she said she was going to do. And there was a discussion kind of over the break about how they were going to try to convince the governor and the legislature to help with the pension problem here in the city. But I think she's doing what she said she was going to do, and that's what people want.
What's the next big hurdle? I mean, the pension thing's always
pension
gonna be
thing, there. But you've got a teacher's contract they're going to try to get done. I think this aldermanic prerogative issue. A lot of financial issues, and then we had although the overall crime shooting statistics are better, we had a brutal 4th of July weekend, so it's crime's always a big, if not number one, issue here.
I don't understand in a big picture, because I've dealt with this for years with, three mayors now? I don't understand, even with the power the mayor has, how the mayor can fully affect this. And I've come completely 180 on this, because I used to think, well, Mayor Daley ought to fix this.
On the crime
and then
issue?
I thought, yeah, Mayor Rahm ought to fix this. But, you know, I got to a point with Rahm Emanuel where I thought, well, no mayor in the city of Chicago, no police superintendent goes to work and goes, oh, yeah, 60 people shot, whatever. They're working on it constantly. And what we continue to come back to is there's too many guns coming in from Indiana, and there are too many people with gun crimes that are turned back on the street the next day, including 14- and 15-year-old kids.
Yeah, and I think the approach that she talked about during the campaign, which I think has been tried somewhat, is a more holistic approach, is the root cause of the problem. Why do we have kids that are 12 to 16 years old down there shooting each other? It's because there's not a lot of opportunity in some of these communities that have been neglected going back decades, and maybe we need to give more opportunity or create more opportunity there. People aren't so inclined to be criminals, but I agree.
But that's the big picture solution. Yeah. In the short term, I don't know what the mayor can do that hasn't been tried or done.
Well, there's one controversial idea that was out there that was to block off the exit ramps at night to when these people commit crimes, you catch them. But the statistic that was thrown around during the campaign is there are 1,000 unsolved murderers, which means there are 1,000 murderers running around the streets. And part of the problem from talking to law enforcement is A lot of people don't want to talk because they're worried about retaliation within their own community. So it is a very complex problem. I think Mayor Lightfoot has the credentials as a former prosecutor and a person who's been involved in law enforcement for a long time to address the problems, but it's very complicated.
Before Rudy Giuliani went around the bend, he cleaned up New York City.
Yeah, but he was zero tolerance and
suspended civil rights in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, got rid of the squeegee man. His theory was clean it all out and it all goes away. Now, and I'm not sure if New York is the same as Chicago. Chicago has segregation type issues that there are pockets, just two or three pockets of crime.
And New York wasn't gang crime. That's a difference, too.
It was everything crime.
Yeah, New York was thugs on the street.
Right. Everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Here, it's somewhat localized or in those specific areas. I mean, it is all over the city, but most of the shootings are in a couple of areas.
So the point being, for people who are going, why can't the mayor fix this? Why can't the police fix it? If you're ready to have your civil rights suspended or ready to sign off on that, you could probably put a big dent in this.
Yeah, but that's a dangerous place to go.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm just saying that's the type of reality that people have to seize upon until the politics and the politicians that don't have enough guts to fix this don't stop it. Stop the guns coming in from Indiana and deal with the judges' problem in the state where in the judges and the attorneys' problem.
Well, it's a bond problem
turning
now.
Turning criminals back on the street.
Well, Sheriff Dart's been on and talked about it. It's a bond problem now. The system they set up lets more people that are gun offenders out back on the streets than it does some of the retail people that have committed retail thefts. There are many components to that problem, including you're talking about the gun issue. That's somewhat of a federal issue. We have very strict gun laws here in Chicago. But unless you get a holistic kind of national solution to how you're going to control the trafficking of guns, it's always going to be a problem.
But we talk about the border problem in the South. What about the border problem in Indiana? I love the people of Indiana. They're good people. But the guns in Indiana are flowing in here at an unprecedented rate. I mean, that's not made up. That's not speculation. That's fact.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? You're going to put a wall between Indiana and Illinois?
Has the governor reached out to the governor of Indiana and said we need to work together on this?
I don't know. But of all the people, the recent mayors, I think she's the most well-equipped, that has the best understanding of criminal law and the problems affecting the communities anybody we've had in a while. So I have confidence she's going to get something done. But it's going to be, like the governor said, it's going to require a big solution.
Or you're going to have to wait for the long-term solution, which is the community fix, which ought to be going on anyway.
Yeah, and Bridget Gaynor, your favorite guest, every time I come in, he mentions Bridget.
Well, I certainly like her better than you.
But she's done what you do, the land bank, where they're trying to make it more affordable to buy a house. And I think what the assessor's doing with fixing the assessment process so the poor communities aren't getting whacked with out-of-control or unfair property taxes. But again, it's very complex.
Texters, 12 to 16-year-olds with guns shooting each other, their parents failed, period. Okay. Didn't solve the problem.
I think that's a very simplistic way to view the problem if you go into these communities, and it goes back decades on why some of these situations exist. I was in criminal courts for 3 years down there, and I saw a lot of good moms and grandmas that came to court to try to get their kids out of trouble that would love nothing more than to have this crime problem solved.
847, I believe there was a shooting in Evanston, and the guy was from Indiana. Kind of scary because the gun was attached to a couple of other shootings. That's the other thing. We see guns that are, you know, 10 shootings deep.
Yeah, okay, we have one shooting in Evanston. How many shootings did we have in Inglewood and other parts of the South Side?
Well, here's the sad truth.
That gets all the attention because it's in Evanston.
Here's the sad truth. Until it happens on Michigan Avenue, until it happens in the Loop, until it happens in a comfortable suburb, it doesn't get the attention.
Right. But you have to create economic opportunity. I don't go down there all the time because it's not safe sometimes, but if you go and see the kids hanging on the streets, the young kids with nothing to do, and Arne Duncan was on the panel we did for Lincoln Forum a couple weeks ago, and the argument that they do it because they make a lot of money, he came up with a very low number of dollars they would actually take to quit doing what they're doing. If they actually had a job or something better than gangbanging, they'd do it. So that, to me, is something I think that the mayor's addressed more than the mayors have heard before.
It's 7:22. We'll come back, get your most valuable person on the planet, talk a little bit about the state of Illinois coming up. This is show number 1,409. Super Joe, is Mike Madigan coming on today?
He is, let me check the schedule. No.
Okay, he's 0 for 1409. And J.B. Pritzker still is not booked on the show either, though we continue to ask. There are the crickets.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Steve, Mary, Dave, Pat, John, Michael, Joe. Michael Platt is a baker and creator of Michael's Desserts. Who doesn't like dessert? Raise your hand if you don't like dessert. I don't see any hands in the air.
Desserts are the best.
I love dessert.
And says the reason I became a baker is because I have an epic sweet tooth. I've been passionate about inequality since I was a little kid. And season 4 of the Baking Championships is on. Michael runs a one-for-one company. Every dessert sold buys a dessert for someone else in need. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
A treat for people that don't get treats.
Great
idea. Oh, I forgot to mention one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Michael's 13.
What?
Michael Platt, the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
That's an amazing story. How do you do this at 13 years old?
So I'm homeschooled, so we don't really have to worry about school that much. We do it when I'm not baking, I'm doing school. When I'm not doing school, I'm baking. And now it's summertime, so I have a lot of orders going, and I'm baking a whole bunch.
And how do you know which, where do you take the desserts to make sure that folks that don't get treats get them?
We go to domestic violence shelters, and we also go to, like, homeless shelters. Like, last week, I think we went to a homeless shelter, and we gave out cupcakes. And if we don't go to domestic violence shelters or homeless shelters, we just go around D.C. And the parks and stuff, and we give the people that are there, the homeless people that are there, cupcakes.
This is like, isn't it Tom's Shoes? Every pair of Tom's Shoes you buy, they contribute a pair as well. I mean, it's that kind of thing for dessert. So what type of desserts are we talking about?
Sometimes I'll make something off my menu, but sometimes I kind of get bored making the same thing over and over again, so I'll create a new flavor to give away.
Well, give me an example. Like, what do you make? You make cookies? You make cupcakes? What do you make?
Most of the time I make cupcakes. Once I made peanut butter and chocolate cupcakes. And that's not on our menu. I made a mint chocolate chip cupcake.
Sorry. You're speaking my language. It's an amazing story. And you do this all over D.C.?
Yes, all over D.C.
You know, Dave, you grew up in D.C.
I did.
And I bet you didn't bake a thing.
No, I was 13 years old in Washington, D.C. I wasn't. But how did you know, Michael, that not only that was this something you wanted to do, but something that you were good at?
So I started baking when I was 9, before I started my business when I was 11. And I guess people have tried my baked goods, and they said that it was good. And I really like baking, so I started a business off of it.
It's an amazing story. I'm sure you have a lot of help from family and friends, but it still comes down to you, and that's a lot of pressure to take on when you're a 13-year-old kid. I know this is fun for you, but what else do you do for fun?
I like to ride my bike and climb trees. We go to the skate park with our friends and ride our bikes.
Here's what I like to hear. When he's not saving the world, he's riding his bike and he's climbing trees. That's what I like to hear. Yeah, you're a good man, and I look forward to whatever you're going to do with your life, because you're changing the world already.
Thank you.
All right, Michael, hold on. Michael Platt, most valuable person on the planet.
Very humble.
Pat Brady, what were you doing at 13?
Detasseling corn.
Mm. Well, that's an actual job.
Yeah.
I thought your answer was going to be time. we'll come back. More politics to talk about. Oh, and exciting news. We have found the bull. Remember the bull from the running of the bulls?
Oh, still with us, isn't
he? We have found the bull. We have made contact with the bull. We will interview. I will talk to the bull.
Is it, was John up. Right? Was it Pepito?
Apparently it's not Pepito.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was Pepito.
No.
Are you sure you got the right bull?
I believe so. Yeah. We looked in our bull directory, and we went through and got the right bull. It's 7:32. Your headlines are next in 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We have exciting news for you, Bill Hillman, author of Mozos, A Decade Running with the Bulls of Spain. The bull that gored you is standing by on the phone. Let's go to the phone right now. Good morning, Mr. Bull.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you to doing?
Doing fine. Say hi to Bill, the guy you gored.
Oh, Bill, it's good to hear you. Hello, Bill.
How's it going, Bebito? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm so sorry I won't see you this year.
Oh, that's too bad.
Why won't you see him?
Well, because we're doing the running of the Bulls. I'm getting ready for next couple
no,
weeks.
No, he's coming over. He's coming over Sunday.
Oh, he's coming over.
Yes, he's coming over on Sunday.
Wow, wow. Yay.
This is a chance for you, the famous bull that gored the American, to get together with a famous American that got gored by the bull.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I mean, he gets to write the books and be on the television. I got to share a barn with 11 other bulls.
Well, you can see why we wanted to get the bull back on the phone, because the bull can lend some insight into what's going on this week in Pamplona, Spain. The desire to have a selfie as a souvenir from running with the bulls turned into a near-death experience for an American lawyer. A 6-ton bull ran over and gored a San Francisco resident named Jamie Alvarez in the neck during the first run of this year's Running the Bulls in Pamplona. The quote, "The joy and the excitement of being in the bull ring quickly turned into a scare and real fear for my life. I'll never forget it." Yeah, well, of course you won't. You got a hole in your neck. Standing by on the phone to explain all of this is Bervito the bull. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, it's Bervito. Hello, Steven. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. How are you, Bervito?
It is so good to hear you. I can't believe I'm back on the radio here and wherever we are.
Yes, this is in Chicago on WGN. You know, I'm kind of fascinated by the whole thing in Pamplona. Why does this go on?
Well, we started in 1924. Actually, the history is where they gave the bulls a lot of water to drink. And they told him that the bathroom was at the other end of the road. And they said, "You got to get there." And then these people say, "You know, that's our bathroom." They had like Porta Bajos. They call them Porta Bajos.
Yes, of course.
And we would run. We would run. And it was 1924.
And over the course of the years, I don't know how long you've been doing it, but how many people have you gored?
Well, I don't want to get emotional again because it's nothing I wanted to do, but I got Bill. He's the only one I ever did.
Oh, is that right, Bill? The guy we heard just a moment ago,
Mr. Hillman. I got Mr. But people don't know this. Since the beginning, only like 12 people have been gored. 4 Americans. 2 of them were Bill.
Oh, is that right? Well, here's the thing. You seem to be saying that this is not the intent of the bull. The bull is just trying to run, so the gorings are in the stampede. That's all accidental?
When you are trying to use the bathroom, you got to get there. You know what I'm saying? You got to get there, like, fast.
Yeah, you don't have time for
a boring. You get in my way. I don't care who you are.
Sure.
And they should never wear white.
No.
Do you know this year? There's already been 3 gourds.
Yes, I did hear that. 3 gourds. That's exactly right. I did hear that.
Do you know why?
No,
you know why?
No, I don't know that.
It's a bad move for them. This is a contract year for the Bulls.
See, so a lot of Bulls are in their option year.
All my friends, Sueto, Polanco, Mesechito, Hascava, Rojo, and Frank, they're all up for a contract.
Wouldn't it be Franco?
No, just Frank.
Oh, just Frank. Okay.
Do they become free agents?
Free Bulls.
Yes.
Free Bulls.
Yeah, they become free Bulls after that.
Two of them I know for a fact are going to South America, and one is going to Guam.
Well, is bull running a big deal in Guam?
No, he'd be the only one, so he's going to try to start it there.
I see.
Hixcaba. He's going to go.
All right, because that's the thing I was wondering about, is what do you do the rest of the year? This is only 5 days.
Oh, I own my own business.
What's your business?
I'm a tailor.
You're a what? You're a tailor? What kind of clothes do you make?
And how do you thread the needle?
So you're a tailor, and
I make the capes for the bull, the fighters.
Oh, you make bull capes?
I make bull capes.
Oh, all right. Well, that's where your experience would be, I suppose.
Works in sequence.
Do you sew?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah. Why do you sound so shocked that I can't do it? But well, I do it.
I just wouldn't think with the hooves it'd be easy for you to work in such small detail.
Before I had an ice cream shop, I could never scoop. So this is better.
What was the ice cream shop called? Did you have a name for it?
But deadly.
Oh, this will be good. Bull blank.
Did you have a name for the scoops? The ice cream shop?
Yeah, three flavors.
That was the name?
It was white and chocolate and then combined.
So trace flavors.
Three flavors, yes.
How about bull tracks?
Yeah, bull tracks would be good. I think that might be one of the flavors if they can add it. Sure.
No, that's why we're running down the way to get to the Puerto Bajo.
Yes, of course.
We don't want the bull tracks.
I feel like we've learned a lot here again, Mr. Bervito. What's the rest of your day look like? If you take a look at your planner or possibly your calendar on your smartphone, what's the rest of your day look like?
I have to go work out. I do that early, and then I'll be by the pool for a while. I'm having lunch with my agent, and then I go on from there.
Nice to talk to you. Good luck with the tailoring business.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's Bervito the Bull. He's a tailor.
Bervito.
Now, if you told me all the possible jobs Bervito could have, that wouldn't even have been on the list.
No, that was not.
How come we didn't learn any of this last year?
Well, he was so upset about goring Bill.
Yeah.
Bill the Bull.
He just cried the whole time. He was very emotional.
Bill the Bull runner.
About it this morning. He almost started crying again.
Yeah. I didn't know the whole thing was about getting to the bathroom, but I mean, it makes total sense
now. It does now. You're right.
It's 7:49. Pat Brady on Governor Pritzker and whatever's happening in Springfield in a hot summer. And then, of course, a little bit of Washington, because we can't avoid talking about it, because we have to.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pat Brady's here, and Pat, what's going on at Springfield?
Out of session, but a lot of the legislation that was enacted in the last session, they're kind of formulating the regulations around, including gaming, the new casinos, how we're going to handle recreational marijuana.
What happens at the Capitol in the summertime?
Not much. I mean, there are a lot of meetings that occur up here. A lot of them are actually kind of subject matter
but
meetings.
What staffers stay in town? There must be people that...
No, the staffers are down there, but there are meetings. There's a lot more preparation that goes into the session than just what happens in the session, but...
Can you rent the Capitol in the summertime for maybe a kid's birthday party or something?
You could. I tell you what, that's one of the nicest state capitals in the country.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's very nice. But yeah, there's a lot that goes on dealing with issues. Implementing all these laws, particularly with as productive as the last session was. So there actually is a lot going on, just not a lot of headline stuff.
Do they still have the Golden Corral in there? In the Capitol?
You know, that's a good question. What is there like a dining court, food court area in the Capitol?
It's in the adjoining building. Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm not...
So let me guess, Sbarro's Pizza?
No, I don't know. Why? I know that's an important issue, but I don't know why.
It is an important issue. Yeah.
It's not bad. I mean, there's a salad bar and some hamburgers or whatever.
Sorry.
All right, so when is session return?
Veto session's in end of October. Yeah, but you know, the Capitol bill, they're trying to figure out where all that's going to go. So a lot of things, implementing all the things that happened in the last session. So good stuff. I mean, people aren't happy because the gas tax took effect July 1st. Doubling, went from 19 to 38. So you saw a jump in gas prices. I'm not sure if that hurts politically or not. I haven't heard that much about it.
Where do you think the casino is going to go?
Well, they're right now doing a study to figure out where's the best place to put it. But that will be a lot of back and forth. I don't know. Where would you guys like it?
I got it. My yard's pretty big.
Could go there, no doubt. At 7:56, Donald Trump tweeting up a storm again this morning. He's quite upset about what the British ambassador said in a private email to other people that somehow got leaked.
Yeah, it's good that we're fighting with the British, not the Iranians are seizing British ships. I mean, it's all good. He's got it all under control.
So how much of, you know, I think back to the end, I think it's the first lethal weapon diplomatic immunity where Danny Glover shoots the guy? Wasn't that Lethal Weapon? How much diplomatic immunity by way of politics does somebody like that have? In other words, the president of the United States can't tell the Brits who to have as an ambassador here.
I think the president can boot an ambassador, though, if he wants. I think that's what
over a private email?
I'm not saying it's rational, but I think he has a lot of power to
that's
deal
fair
with
point. Fair point.
Who the ambassadors. But, I mean, it's just bad PR if we're not getting along with their designated representative to this country. That's not good.
Yeah, and
I think you just call him and say, come on, instead of having a hissy fit with tweets, but that's the way he operates.
And this guy's going to be gone in a couple of weeks anyway when the new prime minister takes over. His days are numbered already, aren't they?
Right, but I think it's even generally not been a great relationship with one of our strongest allies historically.
Yeah, since 2016.
I just don't get the end game with it. Why don't you just ignore it and make a joke out of it and move on? But he's incapable of doing something like that.
Well, that's the thing. There is no end game, and that's why I always roll my eyes to the back of my large head whenever everybody talks about the strategy of Donald Trump. There is no strategy.
Well, to me, it's you watch him as president, leader of the free world, leader of the largest economy in the world. You'd think that we would have somebody that would have a little... you want somebody smarter and more disciplined there than you are or I am. It just never seems to go that way. Why would he just have to tweet? I don't know. He just stirs it up, and maybe it's a distraction of all the things that are going on right now. But there are some good things. I mean, his numbers are as good as they've ever been. They're still not great, but they're as good as he's ever had them. And the economy's humming along, so you'd think he'd talk about that more. But every day we talk about something differently. But Bob Mueller's going to testify in front of Congress in about 10 days.
What's he going to say?
I think he'll stay on the report. And he said he'll just say what's in the report. But if he stays on the report and they actually ask the questions the right way, it won't be a great day for the White House, because I've read the report, and there's a lot of bad information in that report, and I'm not sure if anybody cares anymore, but there is a lot of bad information there.
Based on what he knows and what we know of him and his amazing service to the country through all these years, this is his last opportunity to, I don't want to say do the right thing, but to do something to affect the outcome of all of this. And it doesn't mean it leads to an impeachment or whatever, but his own reputation has been dented by the lies that have been told by Trump and Barr and the others. He's a human being. Isn't there a chance he'll speak to that?
I doubt it. I think he'll stay right on the report. He's very disciplined. He's a former Marine. I think he will answer the questions, refer to the report.
Even as a private citizen?
I don't think. Hey, this guy's a guy that quit Dartmouth or Princeton or wherever he was to go serve in Vietnam. I mean, he's a true patriot, and he'll do what the office requires him to do, which is to stay on the report, don't offer opinions, don't do what Comey did and get emotional and talk about how tough this has been. I don't think Mueller will do. I think he'll stay on the report.
What about his people and protecting his people?
He's been pretty good at disciplining his people. There've only been a couple of times.
Disciplining his people, speaking to the integrity of his people that have been questioned throughout and unfairly almost all the time.
Well, they're probably released from having to take orders from him now. Maybe they will come out and say it.
No, I'm saying would he speak to that as well?
Oh, you mean
would he talk about his people did great work and he doesn't appreciate the fact that that work was questioned?
Maybe, but only the there are a couple Republican members of that committee. The guy that, what's Jordan? The guy that never wears a coat, and some other people.
Jim Jordan
have already said that they're going to attack him on the process of the
investigation. You know what he needs? That Bull Taylor. You can make him a nice coat.
What does the tailor? I wonder what kind of material that Bull uses.
Well, for the capes?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We do know Jim Jordan needs a coat, though. So you don't expect any news to be made in that Mueller testimony at all?
I think there won't be anything that we don't already know. But again, there aren't that many people. They said only, 12 members of this committee have actually read the report. I read the report. If you read the report,
I did as well.
And you
every American ought to read the report.
There's only one conclusion you can come to, that the president, if he were not president of the United States, would have been indicted for obstruction of justice. It's clear. It's not even a close call, in my opinion. But the rest of the country, they masterfully put the attorney general of the United States out there to give a head fake to the public on what was in the report, and that was the story.
And the Democrats, in their typical inept parade that they're on, let the narrative be developed since Mueller stepped aside. And that story's been told way too many times now, where a lot of people will just be checked out on this.
I agree. And I think the Democrats, it's not going to be enough that I don't like Trump, and they did that last time, and they nominated a Northeastern liberal, and it didn't work out so well for him. So they've got to come up with some message that's better than what I've heard so far.
Speaking of the Democrats, I'll let you go on this, but infighting of the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi fighting with Ocasio-Cortez and the rookies. The first-term Democrats certainly have a right to their opinion, but they have not even remotely stayed in their lane the way Washington normally works. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's probably a good thing for democracy. But my problem with Ocasio-Cortez is when she opens her mouth a lot of times, she says stuff that's completely wrong, mm-hmm. and she gets away with it. She can say the stupidest thing you've ever heard, and nobody calls her on it because they're so afraid of attacking the young progressives. And listen, I'm not defending Trump, but there is some truth to the fact that he says a dumb thing a day. So does she. But he gets called out for it, and she doesn't. So I don't blame Nancy Pelosi for pushing back on her. And if you want to follow Ocasio-Cortez and the socialist movement and the Democratic Party, that's going to be problematic for them.
Is there going to be anything that's going to trigger an impeachment inquiry? Because this is a complete stall by Nancy Pelosi.
We're too close to the election.
The Democrats are just as big a bunch of cowards as the Republicans. It's just playing out differently.
Probably morally, but politically, and I know we disagree on this, I think politically it's smart for them. The country doesn't like or want impeachment. We're close enough to the election. If the country wants, they can vote him out.
Yeah, as long as we make it to next November without something horrific happening beyond what's already happened.
Hey, the other thing to think about, he's got 19 or 20 different cases out there, some in the Southern District of New York, that he might end up in a lot of legal trouble. The one guy that's cooperating in New York who ran the Trump Enterprises for a long time, there's a lot of information up there. The Southern District of New York, probably one of the best prosecutor's offices in the country. I'd be more worried about that if I were him than anything.
I just don't know how any kid, you could look a kid in the eye and say, this is the greatest country in the world, and the United States Congress' responsibility is to uphold the Constitution, because both parties have failed in a way they've never failed in my lifetime.
But the impeachment process is a political process, and I think you do have to take that into consideration.
Well, that's why. But the inquiry is an oversight. Inquiry is oversight.
Well, now the Republicans are stalling us on oversight as much as the Democrats are, because they're now subtly claiming executive privilege and everything. They're trying to drag it out, too. I think the bigger point, and I still believe in the greatness of the country, and if we can withstand a lot of the nonsense that this guy's put us through, the country still is stronger than ever. But we're going to have an election. You need to participate.
Yeah, well, that's what it comes down to. But again, I'm not trying to be maudlin here. I hope we get there without something horrible happening. And I'm not entirely sure that we will, because this guy is a danger every single day.
The thing that scares me the most is what Iran, more than anything.
Yeah, in the Middle East.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just more optimistic about it. I think we had a great economy right now. I'm not going to support or vote for Donald Trump. But the Democrats got to come up with something better than we're going to get rid of student loans and give you a free house and free health care and you're going to lose your private health insurance. That's not a message that's going to get the middle voters.
Yeah, and you would think with 22 choices, they could come up with at least one, but we'll see. I still like Joe Biden, and I think Joe Biden's far and away the best candidate of the bunch, but he's got to up his game as well.
Yeah, I think Kamala Harris actually helped herself a lot in the last 10 days, and she kind of has backed off on some of the very far left position she had taken earlier. But we shall see. But I don't think We Hate Trump is necessarily a campaign message that's going to win it for him.
Thank you, Pat Brady.
Well, it's always good to see, especially my buddy John DeCoste.
Yeah, of course.
We just had a nice time.
I know that you
it's
and John are friends.
Yeah.
And nice to see you too, Pat.
And John. By the way, John might be able to get you a deal on a cape.
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, well, you can make up to Dave in a second. We'll come back with your headlines.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night show.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Time now for Moron Entertainment. MOR-ON. Moron Entertainment. And we're excited, Dean, because today in studio, special apprentice moron John DeCoste is with us.
John DeCoste, I'm not familiar with his work.
Very few people are. Yes.
I'm an apprentice. Nobody really knows what
right.
I do.
He's hoping to earn his yes. way up in the business.
Well, you young performers, young broadcasters, we hope we can be an inspiration to you.
Right. And someday it'll be just as moronic
Follow
as we
in
are.
Our moronic footsteps. I was at the theater last night, you know, High Art Theater.
Uh-huh. Which theater?
The Goodman Theater, mm-hmm. seeing The Music Man, which was very good. I'll tell you more about it in a second. But I'm, you know, sitting, reading my playbill, you know, with my opera glasses, because that's what you have to do. I just like to wear them yeah. to make me look.
You don't actually use them. You just wear them.
No, there's not even lenses in them. They yeah. just, they look right. fancy.
Don't mm-hmm. you dip them into a solution and then blow bubbles through them?
that is
good.
A good call.
That would be
yeah.
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting there looking all, you know, theatery looking, and someone comes up and said, I just wanted to say hello. I love that moron segment that you and Steve do.
You can go to the nicest places, and you'll still be greeted
yeah.
by...
Yeah, we're infecting Chicago all over.
The branding that we've created, Moron Entertainment. Well, there's lots to talk about, obviously, but I have a couple stories for you right off the bat.
Yes.
Mick Jagger on stage trolling Donald Trump. Did you hear about this?
I did hear about that, yes.
Sunday night, Mick Jagger paused his band show at Gillette Stadium in the perfect New England summer evening. He said he hoped everybody had a great July 4th weekend and said, it's been a touchy holiday for us Brits. In fact, the president made a very good point in a speech the other night. If only the British had held on to the airports, this whole thing might have gone differently for us.
That's great.
Mick Jagger doing stand-up.
Jagger.
And then there's this. A violent family fight at Disneyland.
No.
With video that's been released to back it up.
Please tell me it was in the teacups.
It's even better. Are you ready? Police responded to the park after a verbal confrontation between family members visiting Mickey's Toontown escalated to a physical fight. The video posted on YouTube begins with an argument between a man and a woman pushing a stroller with two young girls in front of Goofy's Playhouse. The man takes a wild swing at the woman. The woman spits in his face.
Ooh.
What a wonderful, wonderful example they're setting for the children.
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears.
Disney security arrived shortly after and broke up the fight. The family left together.
Wow.
Well, you know, you're in that hot sun all day.
Right.
And, you know, it's a good thing you never have to wait in line or anything when you go there or pay exorbitant prices for anything to really
kind of amp things up.
Try your nerves in any way.
Can you imagine if Goofy had to break up the fight? Hello? Hey, hey.
You shouldn't do that.
Settle down, people.
Stop fighting.
They send in the police. It's like a Keystone Cops.
Of yeah, right, right.
Dogs and animals.
Stop it!
Ding, 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 ding.
It's 8:19. Here's what's coming up. Farm Aid news.
After they broke up the fight, did they tell everyone to have a magical day?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And they gave them vouchers for discounts.
Nice.
In Future World. Future World. There's no Future World. What is that called? The place where the outdated rides?
Wasn't there one? What, didn't there
Epcot Center?
No, the place of the outdated rides where you take the tram through all of them and they've got animatronic things from the 19th century that they're showing off as Future World.
I don't know.
I think you're making this up. What? This is Steve. This is Cochrane Land.
Did you wake up yet?
It was once on the Blueprints.
Garth Brooks news, The Music Man news, Kevin Spacey.
He thinks that we're just going to let this slide like this and he's going to keep moving.
Oh, it's Tomorrowland.
Oh, Tomorrowland.
Being told by the voices in my head. Tomorrowland.
Westworld. You were talking Westworld.
Tomorrowland, where they have stuff like, and one day there will be color television. Kevin Spacey news, John Schneider news, all coming up.
I like going by the frozen Walt Disney exhibit. That's a lot of fun.
It's not an exhibit.
You get a cool drink that's been chilling on Walt's frozen head.
Oh, my God.
By the way, if you...
slushy, can I have the Walt Disney slushy, please?
If you're upset with anything ever that happens here, just send your complaints to moronentertainment@wgnradio.com.
Right. 60601.
You'll be calling his name.
Oh, hey, folks, can't we all just get along? Back to Dean Richards and Moron Entertainment.
to the man because it's always
that's me. East
Coast. So Friday is the big Channel 9 block party.
Yes, in Naperville.
And the Steve Cochran show will be live there.
Wow. I can't wait to see you.
Well, here's the thing. I'm off.
I know.
But I'm coming to the show.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to be at the show for at least a period of the morning.
As a guest.
As a guest on my own show. Justin Kaufman will host.
I'm just going to plop out of bed and walk on over.
Yeah, it's a little farther than a plop, but it's near the summer house.
Yes. That's awesome.
WGN Morning News taking the show on the road. Fourth annual block party. It's a big deal.
It is. These block parties that we've done now. More and more people every year, and we do the whole show from a different community every year. So this we haven't been to the western suburbs yet, so we thought we'd come out to Naperville this year.
So does that mean like we have to bring a dish to pass, like a block party?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Does Mary need to make a casserole?
The casseroles are always welcome. But
a hot dish.
Wait till you see Larry and Robin in the bouncy house.
Is there a dunk tank?
We do have a dunk tank and a bouncy house.
Steve will go in there.
I'd pay you a year's salary if Larry or Robin got anywhere near either of them.
So I assume everybody at Channel 9 is all excited about the show coming out?
We can't wait.
You really didn't even know, did you?
No, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, we've been planning this.
All right, Farm Aid, what's the story?
Well, you know, it's Farm Aid started here in the Illinois
in the 80s, right?
Champaign in 1985. And it's been going strong every year. It's been here in the Chicago area 5 times. And this year, they just announced this morning, as a matter of fact, on WGN Morning News, they made the announcement this morning that it will be back in the Chicago area this year at Alpine Valley in East Troy, Wisconsin. So it's just a short drive out of Chicago. And they gave us the lineup, which will include Willie Nelson, who is in his upper 80s now, 88, 89 years old.
Still getting it done, thanks to the weed.
Still getting it done, whatever it takes.
That's amazing.
John Mellencamp will be there this year. Neil Young, Dave Matthews, Bonnie Raitt, Tanya Tucker, who was at the very first Farm Aid. And a whole a lineup. We've got the whole thing posted, as do they, at farmaid.org. But it's going to be Saturday, September 21st, and tickets are going to go on sale this coming Friday morning, July 12th, at 10 a.m.
Garth Brooks coming to town?
Garth Brooks is going to be in town this coming Monday. He's kicking off what he's calling the Dive Bar Tour.
Yeah, but here's the deal. He's kicking it off here at a legitimate concert venue. It's not a dive bar.
It's not like a classic dive bar where you feel like you need penicillin when you leave.
No, it's Joe's on Weed Street.
Yeah, and that's going to be next Monday at 7 o'clock. They're not selling tickets. You can go to Garth Brooks' website to get information. They've got contests and all different kinds of ways. Because, relatively speaking, compared to... Notre Dame, where he performed.
Yeah, I get it. I just think he ought to be
arenas.
I think he ought to be in a stinky bar where 50 people can fit in if they stand sideways.
Yeah, well, I don't know the capacity of Joe's exactly. I would guess
Joe's got to be 200-300, isn't it?
100, yeah, 100, maybe 200, something like that. It's not a big venue, but it's not what kind of places that you might consider to be a dive bar.
When I played over there as part of my band, Chucky and the Calluses, we played to a packed house, and I think it was at least a couple
where
hundred.
Where is this Joe's on Weed Street?
It's
on Weed Street?
It is on Weed Street.
That's really? The name.
Yeah, 940 West Weed Street. You'd think that Willie Nelson would be on Weed Street.
Right? That's why they put it there, probably, right? The music.
It's a marijuana joke, everybody.
thanks for making sure people got it.
No problem.
Music Man.
Music Man was opened last night at the Goodman Theater, and
we have all the classic songs.
All the classic songs.
He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Well, that's not in.
Oh, that's not in there. That's
Gary
not
one. Indiana.
That one
Gary
is
Indiana,
that one's in the show. Gary. We got trouble. Trouble right here in River City.
When you're a jet, all the way.
That one also is not in the show.
That's not in the show?
That's also not in the show. 76 Trombones.
Midnight, all the kitties are sleeping. Yes.
Somehow they did work that into the show.
That is in the show. Okay, good.
I don't know why.
Okay.
But yeah, all the classic songs. Till There Was You. The classic love song. The Beatles did the song Till There Was You, came from the Music Man. And it is performed in a very traditional old-fashioned, good time at the theater kind of way. They just did a great job in producing it. The performances are outstanding.
And the showstopper, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not in the show.
Steve goes to Steve hears things that aren't really there for many of these shows.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm running out of references.
I doubt it. How about the Shapoopy song?
Shapoopy, Shapoopy, Shapoopy.
See, I knew John would know that.
I got that.
I knew John.
That's good.
I mentioned that on TV this morning, and Robin started to sing along, and Larry looked at me like,
"That's like, actually a song."
Yeah.
Yes.
In the movie,
why is it
called Buddy Hackett?
Buddy Hackett's
the name of a song. It's the name of a dance that they do in the.
I don't want to see it.
First in the play, you want to see this Shapoopy. this is a good Shapoopy.
What'd you rate it? Did you give it a letter?
I don't give it a letter, but I am highly recommending. I saved the letters for the movies, but I am highly recommending this. It's just a lot of fun. It's very nostalgic. I thought a couple of audio issues last night. A little difficult to hear some of the dialogue. I'm sure they'll fix that because they produce great shows at the Goodman Theater. And it's just now been extended again. It will be here until August the 18th.
How's it compare to the music in Death of a Salesman? Pretty similar?
It's very. When they sing supercalifragilistic in this one, they bring the house down.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, there was a hearing yesterday.
Big surprise, Kevin Spacey showed up.
Kevin Spacey did not show up.
Oh, he didn't?
For the hearing. He wasn't really required to show up for it. But this is the case in which a busboy said that Kevin Spacey got him drunk and groped him at a bar in Nantucket when he was 18 years old. Yesterday, the accuser was supposed to testify and instead pled the fifth and refused to answer questions.
Do we know why?
We do not know why. The judge ordered his testimony now to be struck from the record, which means that the case could possibly be dismissed since the accuser's testimony has been taken out.
Strange development, huh?
Yeah, very strange development. So we don't know what's going to happen with all of that. A judge will make a ruling on that.
And a lot of people agree with me when they say that John Schneider has never been right since Dean destroyed the Dukes of Hazzard car. seems he's not right again because he's in
me?
The news.
Was that me that did that to him?
Yes. Dane, in case you missed it, had his microphone pack on his hip, and he tried to do the Duke boys dive into the car.
Jump into the car, right.
And smashed his metal mic pack against the side of the car, right. Causing thousands of dollars in damage.
$6,000 in damage, to be exact.
Oh, my God.
That WGN-TV, you should have seen the expression on my boss's face.
That was a fun meeting.
When I explained that. Turns out that people wearing metal packs on their belt buckles should not jump into cars trying to do a funny pratfall. But anyway, so John Schneider, the story on him this morning, he's been married for 21 years. And by all accounts, up until kind of recently, it seemed like an ideal marriage. These two had been very, very happy. In fact, where I destroyed the car was at their house in California. John told me to come up to the house, and we did an interview, and his wife was right there, and we had a very nice afternoon until I wrecked his car. But so John Schneider now has a new girlfriend who he married yesterday, but the marriage will not be legal until his divorce to his wife of estranged wife of 21 years is finalized.
Yeah, no, I mean, that seems to be a little out of order. Yeah, you might as well wait till the first one's done before the second one kicks in.
I guess so.
He's been going through a lot of weird stuff, right? He ran out of money.
He spent 3 days in jail last year because
he wasn't paying child support,
exactly right. But he's got a brand new girlfriend named Alicia. And
sounds like that's got a bright future. You may want to wear that mic pack and jump into her because she's going to be...
excuse me?
That relationship's going to be dented soon.
John,
I was going for an analogy there and it just didn't work out.
I'm happy to come and counsel all these people.
That'll work out well.
I know where he lives.
Sponsored by Ravinia, you've been listening to Moron Entertainment. We appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
That's it.
And we're back with the headlines next.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Broadcasting live from the 18th floor at 303 Swacker on my computerized communications console. It is 8:46. John Costa is just here bugging one of the guests that we were looking forward to talking
to. I wasn't bugging her.
No, you really weren't. Just being silly. Of all the cool events that happen in town, there's one coming up that you definitely need to know about. And it's the Green City Market Chef BBQ. And here in studio to talk about it is Melissa Flynn. Executive Director or Big Shot? What would you like your title to be?
Executive Director works.
How's a nice girl from Oak Park become a farm girl?
It really started a while back when I was Executive Director of the Lincoln Square Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce. I started a nighttime farmer's market, and our youngest son was born with 5 food allergies, so I really started paying attention to what was in food, and it just kind of bloomed from there.
5 food allergies?
Yes.
What were they, or what
dairy,
are they?
Dairy, soy, nuts, eggs, sesame. He's outgrown some of them, but you really
what does he eat? Grass? I mean, what are you feeding him?
Skittles, I think, would be his favorite.
Skittles?
To my great dismay.
That's a nerve-wracking for a parent?
Yes. So I quickly learned what's in our food and really got excited about farmers markets and talking to farmers directly.
John just asked a good question off the air, which was?
Well, my wife and I go to farmers markets. We love it, but I'm never sure if that we're actually getting the produce is coming directly from a farm. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know. That is a great question. That's why all of our farmers are third-party certified. So they're either USDA organic certified, naturally grown, humanely raised. So you can really talk to the farmers, ask them about their practices, and they can tell you exactly how it was grown. And most likely that was picked the day before.
Green City Market Chef BBQ is next Thursday night, 5:30 to 8:00. How do people get tickets?
They can get tickets at greencitymarket.org.
And you want to brag about some of the chefs you've invited?
Absolutely. We have incredible chefs. In fact, we have 125 chefs cooking, 31 beverage purveyors. We have Stephanie Azard, who just opened up her new restaurant, Cabra. Chris Pandel of Syrah. Paul Verant, who's going to be there with 3 of his restaurants and his newest restaurant, Gaijan. We have MFK Monteverde is going to be there. It really is the who's who of Chicago chefs and beverages.
These are fancy places.
They are fancy places. And we have honey butter fried chicken, some of the best fried chicken in Chicago.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
You just got me there.
Yeah. Limited parking available. Public transportation is always encouraged. How much to get in?
It is $125 to get in for general admission. And all of the funds raised go to support not only our farmers markets, but our access programs, because we welcome Link and match it dollar for dollar up to $15. And, of course, all our free education programs we're teaching in schools across Chicago.
We've talked all spring with Orion Samuelson about how tough it's been to plant and the hit the farmers are taking. Well, what's your take on that?
Absolutely. We're seeing things coming in a whole lot later. We're seeing smaller crops than we've seen in the past. We've had some farmers that have lost upward of 200 trees, entire acres of 20-year-old blueberry bushes. But the nice thing is the market is still incredibly full, and it's fun to try different things that you might not expect while you're waiting for your favorites to come in. So they're starting to come in. It's just a little slower than usual.
It's been harder than ever this year, so go hug a farmer.
Hug a farmer and buy 2 things. If you normally buy 1, buy 2, even 4.
Have you got a favorite that you're looking forward to at the BBQ?
Well,
you can't pick favorites.
Love honey butter fried chicken, but really, there's all the menus have something different. We
could
have.
You just say it again, real quick?
Honey butter fried chicken.
Oh, God.
We have over 70 vegetarian options too. So something
that's
for
right.
Everything, everybody.
So bring your vegetarian.
Bring your vegetarian.
Dave,
I'll be there.
You have any vegetarian questions you'd like to ask?
Well, I'm not strictly vegetarian.
You're pretty close.
Well, I mean, are there any really kind of exotic vegetables that will be there?
We have, there are...
I guess it depends on what you consider exotic.
Yes, what you're used to, but these chefs will make just even things that you might think of as common, like corn, into something that is spectacular, mouth-watering, and probably something you haven't tasted before. So it's absolutely worth trying different things. And, of course, we'll have dessert, too. which a lot of it is, of course, all vegetarian as well.
And this kale fad's over.
Kale fad as a fad might be over, but kale is still delicious.
It is?
I swear to you. Done well, it is delicious.
How do you make it delicious?
My favorite way is in a smoothie or in a kale salad.
Yeah, I've had a smoothie. Smoothie's not bad.
Yeah, because it tastes like everything else.
Otherwise,
pause with it. Trust me.
No, the smoothie's not bad. Otherwise, just regular old kale. It's like
in a salad. Absolutely,
it's like eating a lawn.
If you cut it really small, it's sweet. It's delicious. Come to the market. I'll show you around. I will personally get you to like things.
Where is the Green City Market?
We are located in Lincoln Park at the corner of Lincoln and Clark, and then we have another location on Saturdays in the West Loop at Mary Bartlemy Park.
And what hours?
We in Lincoln Park 7 to 1 Wednesdays and Saturdays. In West Loop, we are 8 to 1, and then of course we're all winter long in Peggy Notabart Nature Museum.
Wow, you're busy. And next Thursday night, 4:30 to 8 for VIP admission, 5:30 to 8 for general admission. Tickets and information where?
GreenCityMarket.org.
You have any last questions, John, about the honey butter chicken?
If you could just say it again.
Okay. I'm starting to get a little creepy, John. Back it down.
They're great people, and they started at the market, actually.
They did. I love farmers markets. I think it's just a great way to, you know, to really get in touch with the just some great food. Oh, my Lord. I just love it.
And then next time John's in, because he's only in here about one day a week, because he's very busy with the rest of his life, just have him send over a lot of honey butter chicken.
Will do.
Yeah. Melissa, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Melissa Flynn, Executive Director, Green City Market.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's honey butter.
It's a new song you're working on?
Honey butter.
John DeCoste, Musical Director for the show. Hey, congratulations to our old pal Scott Darling. Got engaged.
Saw that.
Got engaged on the Great Wall of China. And to a former ICE crew member, who I don't think I've ever met. Have you met his fiance? No,
I don't think so.
Is he still? I know he was in the minor league for Carolina. Is he still playing?
He was recently traded. Released, I think.
Is he a free agent?
I think he's a free agent. Let me double check. But I think he was cut loose.
He had two great seasons as Corey's backup here and then the number one goalie here and got a big deal to go to Carolina. It just never happened for him there.
No, never really did. He had some injury problems.
But he's a great guy. Great guy with just a very...
He's a free agent right now.
And a phenomenal life story. So I assume he's going to camp with somebody trying to make the situation work.
I think somebody will bring him in, sure.
If you'd like to send your congratulations, he's at sdarling_33, which, of course, is his number. And Jackie Camardo is the fiancé. Is that right? I believe that's right. I hope that's right. It's going to be awkward if it's not. A completely different path here, but another story worth mentioning. A 20-year-old kid named Derek Bird is in the house with his three little cousins, or actually niece, an 8-year-old niece, and a couple of nephews as well, and the house is on fire. Runs out through the fire, and the kids are upstairs. He's encouraging the kids to jump out the window so he can catch them. This is all in Seattle, by the way. When the fire started early Thursday, this is last Thursday in Aberdeen, Washington, Bird's little sister and three other kids were trapped in the second floor. Bird, again, got through the flames outside so he could catch his niece and nephews as they jumped from the windows. The two boys jumped, a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and he caught both of them. Little girl, Mercedes, was too scared to jump. And Bird's sister, Kayla, she jumped. Fell to the ground, and Mercedes then just kind of fell backwards into the house. So now she's in the house, and the house is burning, and she's not getting out. So Jonathan ran back into the house to save her. Saved her, got her out, suffered extensive burns. He's in the hospital. Oh. He's expected to make it, but he made a choice. He said he couldn't live with himself. He didn't do what he did. He said, I didn't care if I was burning. As he saved his 8-year-old niece from a house fire. And by the way, she's going to be okay.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
And honestly, I mean, he saved all the kids.
Yeah.
You know, because without his leadership and getting out and encouraging the kid. Imagine a little 4-year-old and 6-year-old getting him to jump from a house.
And where were the parents?
I don't know.
Oh.
Don't know. It doesn't say in the story.
A lot of kids be in the house by themselves.
Well, yeah, with a 20-year-old, though, right? So.
Oh, there was a 20-year-old. Okay.
Yeah, he's the kid. The 20-year-old is the one that was the hero in the story.
Oh, I thought he was younger. Oh, okay.
But amazing. And, you know, it's one of those things, again, makes you ask the question, what would I do?
Right.
You know?
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close to...
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
It's 9:14. John DeCoste is here, musical director of the experience we call the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 1,409. What? What the hell am I talking about?
No idea.
And my friend Bill Rancic's here. Nice to see you as always. And by the way, I know why Juliana didn't come in, because it always is embarrassing for her, because she confuses the two of us. And she ends up thinking I'm you, and it's just totally awkward.
It's so awkward. I hate when she does that.
So,
oh, my goodness.
How is she?
She's great. She's great. She's with Duke. We're having some childcare challenges this morning, so we thought we were going to have coverage, but we don't. So I said, honey, hang with the boy, and I'll come here.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about Duke. Duke's how old now?
He is 6. He'll be 7 end of August.
And nothing but fun.
He's a big boy, yeah.
Yeah, how tall? 110th percentile?
He's in the 110th percentile, yeah.
Which makes him, by the way, even at 6, he's 7'4" now.
I mean, he's dunking.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah, he's hanging on the rim.
He changed his name to Shaq legally by the weekend. So, all right, Captain Busy, what's the latest venture?
Well, the latest venture, which we opened officially last night, is Pizzeria Portofino. It's the first of three at 321 North Clark, right on the river. So it.
By the way, I didn't get the invite.
It was soft opening. We're having a big party, grand opening in September when we open RPM on the water. Which
didn't get the invite.
You're invited. That's
yeah. Because here's
that's
the thing. Given. Here's the thing. I don't come to anything.
Well,
I just want to be invited.
We are bringing meatballs in for you.
Oh, so then I'll come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'll yeah. Come. Yeah. So Pizzeria Portofino. How is it different?
You know, it is obviously the location is spectacular.
Right.
I mean, we are right on the river. Last night it was so exciting. People were pulling their boats up, hopping out, having a drink, ordering, you know, pizza, pasta. Oh, yeah. We were delivering food to people's boats. I mean, it's just a great, great environment. Hand-stretched pizzas, great pasta, amazing drinks.
Now, if people know where City Winery is, where are you in relation?
We are, so we're on the north side of the river.
Okay.
And we're right at Clark and Kinsey.
Okay.
So we're literally
right. Well, there's steps right there.
There's steps right there.
Yeah.
You walk right down. Great people watching. I mean, it was just so much fun. Julian and I closed the place down last night. And you can probably hear my voice,
yes.
A little hoarse this morning. but, you know, just exceeded everyone's expectations and great teamwork. You know, RJ and Jared and Molly Melman and sure. Chef Doug, who's the P in RPM. Everyone just did an absolutely wonderful job.
And the Riverwalk's amazing. And, you know, Mayor Emanuel should get a lot of credit for it,
yeah.
Because he pushed a lot of things through that, you know, the city didn't think they were ready for it, and they clearly were. And if you've seen some of the Pizza Portofino reviews early on, you're getting some great buzz.
Yeah, I mean, we're literally... one day in, so we're really thrilled with it. And yeah,
you might want to shut it down,
Mayor Emanuel.
I mean, it went so well last night. Yes. You may want to just close it.
Let's go on a high note, right? No, but Mayor Emanuel did really champion this river, and you know, I give him a lot of credit for redeveloping the river and making Chicago what I still think is the best city in the world.
This thing is huge, right?
It's going to be huge. Yeah. So it's three phases. Then we have RPM events, which mm-hmm. is going to be right above Pizzeria Portofino. So if anyone got engaged recently or you have a wedding coming up, we're going to be doing great private events, great weddings. It's a wonderful space, great outdoor terrace. So you can really, really have a pretty special evening to celebrate your nuptials or a corporate event. That'll be open first week of September. And then we're going to follow that opening with RPM on the Water, which would be, you know, great seafood, great steaks, just amazing.
Target for that is?
Early fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that what does that make? 6 then?
Well, let's see. We have... 6. 6
restaurants.
Yeah, 6 restaurants. Who
look at
thought?
You. You're a tycoon.
I mean, you know, it started, I don't know if you know the story about how RPM came to light. But
well, I mean, I know it, but tell these guys.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody.
Yeah, we want to know. Yeah.
So, Juliana we were doing the Juliana and Bill show years ago.
Yeah.
And Juliana's mom would cook a lot. And my wife, you know, who's from Naples, Italy, came to America when she was nine, you know, thought we should open up a restaurant. So I was buying time, right? So I'm starting to look at little places like up on Southport and 40-seat restaurants.
But also because you know how difficult the restaurant
exactly.
business is
right.
because
so,
you've had a lot of success in business
yep.
and good for you. So you know what's a good investment, what's not a good
That's
investment.
Correct.
This is your money.
Right.
So you're stalling to go, maybe she'll forget.
This is going to just die out. We're going to just buy time. So we go to dinner with Greg Olson and his wife,
yeah.
former tight end for the Bears.
Right.
And Juliana's at dinner and she's talking to Greg and his wife. And she says, we're opening up an Italian restaurant. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm back here like, yeah, no, we're not, shaking my head. And he says, well, you know, God, if you're doing that, a friend of mine is thinking about opening up an Italian restaurant as well. And it was the Melman family. And he made an introduction and we kind of courted each other for about a year. And then my 40-seat restaurant became a 10,000-square-foot monster called RPM Italian.
Yeah, which is one of the great
wow.
Italian joints. You know, and the idea that you could open an Italian place or RPM as a steakhouse mm-hmm. in Chicago and be recognized as a unique property. I mean, you ought to be proud of that.
No,
it's not easy to do.
Great team. I mean, you know, I give everybody else a lot of the credit. You know, it's... you know, Juliana can get people to come in the door once, and certainly we've been able to give it a great exposure. And,
sure.
and you know, we aired it on our show for multiple seasons in 160 countries. So
yeah, done her.
It's fascinating to see, you know, the different people coming in from Australia and the Middle East and different parts of the world, because that Juliana Bill show is still rerunning over there. But, you know, you got to have great food, great service. You have to exceed people's expectations. And that's what we try to do night after night after night.
You know, you've learned a lot about the restaurant business in the last few years. Obviously, great food first.
That's right.
What second?
Food first, service, environment. You know, you got to have
a... So the room is important.
Room's very important, yeah. You know, I think people, they want to have their state changed. You know, you have to be a state changer, you know. And when people go out and spend money, they want to feel good. And they want to, you know, feel important and certainly want to enjoy the food. But I think that goes for all businesses. You know, if you look at the great businesses out there, they're able to change people's state of mind. Apple.
Right.
This phone changes your state of mind, whether you like it or not, you know. And
you want an escape.
You want an escape.
From whatever's happening.
Yeah.
Well, how do you decide on the prices? What goes into going, okay, we can do this or we have to do this?
Prices as far as, like, items on the menu?
Any item on the menu, yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of reverse engineering.
Okay.
You know, you look at... what are your food costs, you know, and,
okay.
and you know, like with steaks, you know, that those prices fluctuate. You know, you almost have to kind of hedge them. You know, it's like oil in the airlines, you know. Well, if they buy oil 2 years, 3 years, or fuel 2 or 3 years out because it fluctuates. So, you know, you want to, like RPM Italian, we always say we provide attainable luxury. And that's something that we've always tried to do. And you can come
the
in
menu is very reasonable.
Yeah, you can come
very
in RPM Italian,
better,
have a
yes.
beautiful bowl of pasta
Phenomenal.
For, you know, $10.
Right.
But you feel like you're, you know, at a Michelin star restaurant. You know, it's
absolutely
beautiful.
Do the restaurants pay attention to each other? Like, you know, if somebody moves their prices, does that affect you?
We kind of just stay in our own lane and we do what we do. And certainly, you know, we try to just exceed people's expectations and give them great food at a great price in a great environment.
You and the Melmans turned out to be a pretty good partnership.
Great partnership, yeah. Yeah, certainly. And you know, our chef is amazing, Doug. He's the P, so he does a wonderful job with the menus.
Have I met Doug? I don't know that I've met him.
I think you've met him. Yeah, he's originally from
is
New York.
Is he nuts? Because you have to be nuts to be a big-time chef
in
Chicago.
No, he's a smart guy. Very smart guy.
Well, he could be smart, but still be crazy.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. And
okay.
He's got a wonderful wife. She's a fantastic pastry chef and just...
I think you'd probably have to be in the business to marry a chef.
I think so.
Because you'd have to understand the hours.
The hours are tough. Yeah.
Because he's getting there in the morning. He's buying stuff. He's taking deliveries, making sure it's right.
You know, I think a good chef, like when you're running multiple restaurants, you're almost like the conductor of an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have the right people playing the right instruments if you're smart. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I think he's done a great job of. He's gotten, you know, the right people in place where he can just conduct the music.
How's that meatball drive-through window coming that I recommended?
We're getting it. We're getting it put in. Definitely.
So I'm kind of intrigued by the name Portofino, because I was just in Portofino.
Were you really?
And so am I going to feel like I'm back in Portofino?
Yeah, you know, the interior is definitely very Portofino-esque. You know, we've got these beautiful striped booths. They're yellow striped booths. Just the vegetation that we have there, right on the water, the way the servers' uniforms and the hostesses' uniforms are designed.
And great wine, Dave, so you have enough of that. You can be anywhere you want.
Well, the wine is pretty amazing, I will say. And we have a great wine director, Richard Hanauer. He's runs all the RPM wine programs. And, you know, he's pouring Tignanello by the glass, which is like a fantastic Italian wine. I don't know if anyone in the city is pouring Tignanello by the glass, but, you know, he's got wine that's $8 or, you know, $25 by the glass.
You've turned into a wine expert.
I'm learning. He's teaching me. Yeah.
Does he make you stick your nose in the glass and do the little swish?
I mean, I grew up in Orland Park, so we didn't really...
It's a little hard.
You know, so I've got a big learning curve coming from, you know, the south suburbs of Chicago, and he definitely is very patient with me.
Pizzeria Portofino, more from Bill Rancic in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I found my love in Portofino.
How about that poll from Super Joe?
That is so good. That is so good. Bocelli.
Very impressive.
I'm going to use that on my Instagram post today. Thank you for the reminder.
That should be your ringtone on your phone.
That's pretty good.
Pizzeria Portofino. Bill Rancic's here. Bill and Juliana opening up. I believe this would be the fourth of six spots, or the fifth of six spots.
This is the fourth of six.
Yeah. And signature item on the menu?
Well, obviously the pizzas are amazing. We have incredible rigatoni. The drinks, we're pouring a lot of the Giuliana Prosecco and making a lot
Does
of...
Does she know you're pouring her Prosecco?
She
she might want to keep some at the house.
Well, she it's her named after her, but RJ myself and the team, we do a lot of the work for it. But we're great. Cocktails that Richard and the team have come up with sure. the Prosecco. So it's a fun spot. It's casual. Great environment, and we certainly hope people come by and check it out.
I don't doubt that they will.
Yeah.
By the way, John, if you get a chance, try the thin cheese. It's very good.
The thin cheese?
Thin cheese.
Sweet.
Well, how exotic did the pizzas get?
You know, Doug... he's a pretty creative guy and certainly well-traveled. And
he'll mix it up, right?
He mixes it up, yeah. I mean...
Is there a pizza of the day kind of thing to keep them interested?
You know, the margarita was... We tried them all again last night, and certainly I think the margarita...
How are you not 500 pounds?
Yeah.
I'm getting... You know, this is a baggy shirt. So when I take the shirt off, it's...
This is a baggy Steve.
Yes. And the older I get, I'll tell you this, it's a lot easier to put it on than to take it off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
I just turned 48, and I mean, it's rough.
You look great. You're working out every day.
Almost. Yeah. Trying.
Yeah.
Trying.
You got the right genes.
Yeah.
Surprising I like you. Dave, you were saying.
Well, the margarita pizza was what we had all over Italy.
Yes.
And it was my first time in Italy.
Oh, my
so
God.
I'd always heard that the pizzas there were much different than the pizzas here. I didn't think they were as dramatically different as...
The further south you go, the more the pizza.
Maybe, changes. And I was north.
Yeah.
I was north.
You know, pizza originated in Naples. I was just there as well. I was there in mid-May.
How's it different?
You know, it's thinner. It's cooked very quickly in the ovens, right? The Neapolitan pizzas. And we were at this place, Pizzeria Brandi, which is like world famous. It's where Eat, Pray, Love filmed. And it's just very simple. And it's almost got like a light burn on it, you know, the way they cook.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's obviously Neapolitan pizzas. The birthplace of pizza.
Are we talking about less sauce, less cheese?
Yeah,
you know, difference just, between Americans.
It's much, much simpler.
Okay.
The way they do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love the Chicago pizzas. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just had a shipment of Lou Malnati shipped out west to me. So, you know, I'm definitely a fan.
It's a shame you don't know anybody in the pizza restaurant
That's
business.
That's right. Yeah? That's right.
Well, I had margarita pizza in Portofino, so now I have to come over to Portofino.
You've got
to
come over to Portofino. Come today. We're open for lunch. Come on after. I will host you gentlemen today at the restaurant. I'd love to have you come over for lunch afterward. I know
that's
Steve
very nice.
Thank you.
Very probably nice. Wants to get home
very
and
nice.
Golf, but
I'll hang out with you anytime.
All right.
It's good for your image, by the way.
Come on over, yeah.
The Nepalese tea slingers. Tell me about this.
The focaccia.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I had two of them. Oh, my God. Little prosciutto on there. Oh, my goodness gracious.
What did your wife send to you? She turned you into a full-blooded...
It was so good, right? I'm a paisan.
Yeah. The Nepalese tea slingers.
Yes. Delicious.
And explain.
I'm gonna let Chef Doug come in with me next time.
Oh, so come into the place.
We're gonna.
I got it. And again, on the soon to come RPM on the water. October, November, maybe October.
Right, we're hoping, yeah, and then RPM private events on the water.
But you can call and book something even before you're
ready.
Right?
We've got our first wedding booked for I think it's September 12th.
Okay,
or 13th.
Well, I guess you got to have it open.
So we're up against the clock.
Right.
We're getting a lot. I mean, we have weddings already booked into 2022, believe it or not.
Best thing to do is to go to the website?
Go to, rpmrestaurants.com.
Everything's there.
Everything's there. RPM on the water. Yeah. It's got the full array of all the RPM siblings.
Congratulations. All the success.
I hope I see you guys at lunch today.
It's very nice of you.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
You can take your yacht, Steve.
I guess I can pull up right now.
Isn't that how you get to work in the morning?
It's so nice of you to refer to an inflatable raft as a yacht. Pizzeria Portofino. It's the great Bill Rancic. And you're about due for a new book. Are you working on that, too?
Talking about it. Okay. Talking about it. Yes, thank you.
And, of course, you can plug it here.
You'll be the first.
Okay.
Always.
Say hi to the lovely Juliana.
She's listening. She just texted me.
And the muscled-up stud Duke.
I'll give you the critique. She said, she gives me a lot. She likes to micromanage a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Best dishes are the rigatoni, the seafood pasta, and the focaccia. You sound amazing, honey. Great job. Juliana Prosecco is a success.
Are you sure?
Oh, no, she's giving me more notes. They're coming because she's listening. Charred pepperoni, crushed Campania. Oh my God, mozzarella 18, burrata, tomato sauce. I mean, she's going on and on.
Have you been in this place? Because it's something Juliana knows. Right?
She likes to, she's giving notes here. But yeah, she's said charred pepperoni three times now. So we're gonna plug that. Thank you, Juliana.
Juliana, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
I'll see you next. There you go.
I guess
720 WGN.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Sandelson.
Big old big treat for you. The writer, performer of your theme song, John DeCoste, is in studio with us.
Well, good morning to John. Yes, it's been a while since we've talked, and I know I owe him a check for the... song that you wrote for me.
Oh, I was going to say that. Like, where are you going with that one? No
charge.
Well, that's actually. No charge. That's absolutely no charge.
Thank you.
So, we were talking earlier with a delightful woman about the farmers markets and things and farming in general. And just as a follow up, the farmers, especially downstate, Governor Pritzker was going to try to get a disaster declaration made to help them out. Did that happen?
Hasn't happened yet, at least not to my knowledge. The governor hasn't called me to tell me that, but we'll keep an eye on it. So there are several aid programs that are out there from the USDA, but you do need to have a statewide declaration of a disaster situation, I think, to get more made available.
And what shape are we in?
Well, I'm just looking at the crop report that came out yesterday, and of course we are done planting what we're going to plant because it's too late now. And because of the late planting, the crop conditions that were reported yesterday, for example, 57% of the corn crop is in good to excellent condition. Last year, at this time, that number stood at 75% good to excellent. Soybeans, 53% rated good to excellent. And last year, 71% rated good to excellent. So it's going to be a worry kind of a summer because of weather. And there was a story this week out of South America while we were dealing with high humidity and high temperature. frost in South America in several agricultural areas in Brazil over the weekend. An intense polar air mass sweeping through the country, and sugarcane, coffee, and late-planted winter corn are the most vulnerable to those to frost. And so while we're going through heat, in other parts of the world, they're going through the cold weather that's approaching in South America.
The marijuana decision made here, where will that land be farmed? Do we know yet?
Well, it'll probably be farmed all over the state, but frankly, I was not at all in favor of that. I can understand producing hemp for rope, which we did for years, but I was not in favor of the recreational marijuana, and it was done basically for tax purposes to raise money for the state. But as far as farmers are concerned, I don't know how much they're going to gain. We've watched Colorado, which has now had recreational marijuana for a year or more, and I don't think, at least in the reports that I've seen and the people I've talked to, it has produced the revenue that they said it would. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
And why would that be? Just because the deals you cut are not something beneficial? Or I don't understand the economic model, I guess.
I don't either, I'll be frank with you, because I just don't understand adding another impaired situation. I mean, we've already got the impaired by alcohol deal on our roads and highways, and now we'll have to deal with the impaired by marijuana use. So I just haven't looked into it, and I don't think I will.
And what is the state of the markets today?
State of the markets today, reacting to weather. When, you know, they're still ponding in some of the fields. I've been driving in McHenry County around farm country the past couple of weeks or so, and there are still ponds there, and they'll not be planted. But once it quits raining, it dries out rather quickly. And right now, as you heard the crop condition reports, we're now going to be watching the pollination time. That's corn porn that we've talked about here. Mm-hmm. And going to be watching that. That normally would be happening right now in early July, but it's going to be delayed. Oh, and me rye sweet corn. Mm-hmm. Talked to Gary Pack on the Saturday morning show at Twin Garden Farms, and he said they managed to get the first planting in pretty much on time because they got a break, but they have to plant several times during the season to assure that it'll be available to the farm markets well into October. And he said he expects me rye to be about a week late at the farmers' markets and at their stand in Harvard. So that would put it, he said, at about July 28 or 29, we may see that sweet corn coming to market.
And you told him I want the first dibs, right?
They already know it. They have a sign hanging on a corn plant that says, devoted to Steve Cox.
And corn porn, the detasseling of corn. This is just a little sampler, a little teaser, because in a couple of weeks, when this is full-blown, we'll ask you to explain detasseling to corn porn music.
Well, it's in the breeding process, and it's involving the different varieties, you know, because we now have corn that you plant, it'll be ripe in 90 days, 101 days, 111 days, and all that sort of thing. But oh, you have to take the tassel off to make sure that you don't get pollination across fields into different varieties.
Can't be too careful.
Was I supposed to dump that?
And one last.
Oh, golly, we'll have to set up a 6-month study period for John and you, Steve, and we'll go through all of this.
Oh, and I know how much you love a good study.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I really do.
And Farm Aid's coming back. Over the years, you know, the idea of Farm Aid certainly is a good one. Have the farmers seen a lot of that money?
I don't think so. No, that was one of my concerns and one of my criticisms of Farm Aid. The money just was very difficult to get to individual farmers. And I don't know how you do that with a program like Farm Aid, but it'll be fun to have it back. It's a little break in concerns over weather and pollination and harvest and early frost and all of that. So more power to them. I hope they raise money, but then I hope they find a way to get it to people who need it.
I'm going to give you the lineup. You tell me who are these folks you like. Willie Nelson?
Yeah, Willie's a good old boy.
John Mellencamp.
Yeah, pretty good.
Neil Young?
Not so much.
Dave Matthews?
No, you know, I'm from the Gene Autry, Roy Rogers days, and so I really don't know who these people are.
How about Bonnie Raitt? You know Bonnie Raitt.
I know Bonnie Raitt. She's good. Yep.
Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats? Not your favorite?
Use deodorant.
Yeah. Margo Price, Jamie Johnson, Tanya Tucker, Brothers Osborne, Lucas Nelson and the Promise of the Real, Yola, and Particle Kid. I'm guessing Particle Kid is probably not on your must-see list either.
No, but that could be in the detasseling situation. There could be particles of
that's it. That's
that.
It.
So, you know, it could be. I'd have to check it. But no, I'm not familiar with them.
All the best, my friend.
And the same to you and to John. Good to talk to him.
There you go. That's the great Orion Samuelson. What's coming up?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. Whiskey River, don't run right.
Should I retell the Nashville Hotel Willie Nelson story quickly?
Yes.
Not even quickly. Take
I'll
your time.
Well, when we come back, I've got a Willie Nelson story that I think you'll find amusing. And look up how old Willie is, will you? We'll get to that
80s.
In a second. Late 80s is a range.
I'm saying 82.
I think he's almost 90.
Yeah.
86, the voices in my head are telling me, which makes the story I'm about to tell you even better. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Bill and Wendy are here. So a friend of mine used to run a big country music network, and he would put artists together for musical for shows, but there'd be divergent tastes, like an artist from one genre and an artist from another. And the show was very successful. So Willie Nelson is in for one of them. And he's staying at the, is it the Peabody, Dave? Isn't that the famous hotel
yes,
in Nashville?
Yes, that's the one where the ducks walk through the lobby a couple times a day.
Yeah, so the Peabody Hotel.
Yeah.
Checks out of the Peabody, goes to the show, and he realizes he left something behind back in his room. So he tells my friend, and he goes, well, of course, Willie, we can get that for you. We'll run back there right now. No, I'll get it. I just want you to know I'll need a ride back there after the show. But Willie, we can do it. No, I'll get it. Gets a ride back after the show, goes up to the front desk. Mr. Nelson, nice to see you again. I left something in my room. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. There's someone in that room. They checked in earlier today. Is it something I could get for you in the morning and send to you? He goes, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'll get another one. Takes the elevator up, goes and knocks on the door. Post-concert Willie Nelson knocks on the door. An Asian businessman who speaks broken English opens the door and says, Willie Nelson! Who he then explains to this guy, I left something in here. Could you help me move this desk? Moves the desk over, helps Willie get up on top of the desk, moves a tile in the ceiling where he pulls out a wood box, his weed box, thanks the guy, gives him a business card, says, you ever want to go to a show? Let me know. And leaves the room.
Wow. Yay, Willie.
Huh? About that. What are you guys doing today?
The businessman from your story will be on. He's got a different version of it. We'll find out what his take is on it.
Yeah, that'll be a new series we're doing. Willie Nelson stories, true or false. Anything else on the show, or is that it?
I haven't been on the air since July 4th, and there's another neighborhood watch that I participated in, so I'm going to talk about that.
Wendy oftentimes helps the local authorities solve crimes.
I do.
Did you find one?
Well, you'll see.
Well, I'll be listening.
Get Wendy Love.
That's right, Bertrand.
Just so there's a criminal wandering the streets, I wanted to know before the bit. See you tomorrow.